Hello, one and all. This is the Fifth Trooper podcast. I'm Owen.
I'm Isaac.
And this is the new player's guide to Star Wars Legion. So, welcome, all of our returning players. Maybe there's some tips in here for this. All of our veteran players, you can sit this one out. We appreciate you being here. Shout out to our Patreon. Thanks for helping us do this. But this is for the new players. This is for everyone new coming into this. We want to give you, you know, the ins and outs of how to start playing Star Wars Legion.
That's right. All the answers are here.
Yeah, and also, if you are a veteran player and we missed something, put it in the comments. You know,
yeah, you can fact-check us. So
yeah, fact-check us, please. I don't get angry at that at all. I truly love hearing from the community when there's other stuff that, you know, we miss or maybe we're incorrect, because it just helps us be a better resource for new players that are going to be looking at this video in a month when or 2 months when the starter, you know, depending on what starters you're getting when they come out. You know, like, this is for you guys. This is how to get started with Star Wars Legion. Sure. So I think, you know, the first step, the first thing that you got to ask yourself when you want to play some Star Wars Legion, because you're like, hey, I want to do this. Step one, you got to find people to play with.
Does help.
Yeah.
It does help.
If you don't have people to play with, you're just painting Star Wars miniatures, which I know a lot of people that do that, and they just put them on their shelf, and that's great. We're so happy that you do that as well. But, you know, this is a game I think the Wills call it, like, cooperative, competitive or something like that.
Yeah, co-op competitive, like, or narrative competitive almost. You're making little war stories on the table, you know, it's cool.
Exactly. And so this, you know, you do need to find people to play with. You do need to have other people there other than yourself. And so, you know, how do you do that? Where do you go? How do you find, you know, players? Step one is go to your local family game store. You know, go to the game store and ask. Because maybe the owners there have a community of people that play with. Maybe they don't and they want to start, and so you can help them with that process. You know, maybe they can be like, yeah, we don't have one, but the store down the street does. You know, so I think step one is always just go to the local game stores and check them out, because they will be they're going to be where you're playing. They're going to be able to tell you where stuff is. Like, that's going to be, I think, resource number one.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah, like, one of the first things I did when I moved up here was, like, I just Googled game stores, Rochester, New York. I was coming up from Kentucky, so, like, I had no idea where anything was. And just, like, looking at stores, and you can even, like, scroll through their Google images. Sometimes, like, I'll do this. I'll upload photos of games that I play at various stores just to let people know that, like, hey, people do play the game here, things like that. And you can, like, message the store owners and stuff and see if they have it. If they're stocking it, they're probably playing it in some capacity. Somebody's in there buying it. So that's always a good sign if, you know, if they're stocking it, if you see games getting played, of course, you know, you just walk up, introduce yourself, and hopefully, usually there's a community established and you can just join in. And it can be as simple as that. You make new friends and you get to play the game. So what's not to love?
I don't know how this happened, but I did realize that your game store and my game store, very different geolocated areas, but they both have Thursday night Legion nights.
Oh, really? That's perfect.
I don't know what it is about Thursday nights, but maybe, you know, like, Magic owns Fridays, so they're not going anywhere near that. But yeah, so, like, you know, there's probably going to be something like that in your area that they have, you know, a Tuesday or a Thursday is their Star Wars night to be able to play. And if you go to your game store and they're like, hey, we don't stock it, we're not playing it, they don't have any of these answers for you, you can always look online, as Isaac did. You know, Googling things helps. Going through Discords help. The Legion Discord, like, the big one, it's called the Legion Discord, but they actually have a directory of all of the different Discords for all these different, like, regions of the world, and then, like, what stores are inside of those regions. So if you're looking for people to play with, definitely check out those Discords as well, because that's another resource to help you out, because they can point you out to just being like, hey, you know, they might not be sourcing games in that specific Discord, but they might be able to point out that you know your area, you know, of Rochester, New York, or Kentucky, or Texas, or whatever. They're like, hey, this is the Texas Discord, you know, this is the California Discord, and then you can go there and find what stores in your area actually have the games going on and everything. So again, Discord, another great way to find people that you're playing to play with.
Definitely, yeah. Discord is such a huge resource, and it's so useful. And it's funny because, like, I came at it from like PC gaming and Xbox gaming, but it's also a super useful tool for the tabletop side of things, and on the Facebook side too. If you do Facebook, doing simple group searches can be super fruitful. Like, we have a little team branded thing for our Rochester crew called Rochester Raiders that Tim Hannon started up, and it's sweet because, like, the key thing you want, name Star Wars Legion somewhere in it. So Rochester Raiders, a Star Wars Legion group. So, like, wherever you end up being, if you just type in city, whatever, or, like, Western New York, for example, that's another group that kind of encapsulates, like, all of, like, Buffalo, Syracuse, and Rochester. So, like, just the region that you're in, the city that you're in, and Star Wars Legion will usually yield you some resorts or results. And that goes for, like, any game. So, it can be really helpful. But the Discord, too. Combine both. Go forth and conquer.
Yes, so definitely look through social media, look through the Discords. You know, you can even talk on our Discord. You know, the Fifth Trooper Discord, it's not a place that we can necessarily point you in the right direction of where people to play against are, but it's definitely a Discord that you can talk to people about Legion. And I think that's one of the main things that you have to, you know, like, join the community, because that will help you with all of these other questions that you have. Every time I look on Reddit or I look on to the Legion Discord and I look at the question and answer thread, there's always somebody being like, hey, I'm new and I was wondering how I do X, Y, and Z. And it's so great that this is a very reactive community in a good way of, like, they will tell you the answers of what you're looking for, and pretty quickly. You know, the Legion Discord actually has a question and answer thing about game mechanics. So if you're ever, like, in the middle of a match and you don't know what you're doing, you can just ask, and in a relatively quick time frame, someone in the world will answer you of how that actually works, which is crazy to me. It's like calling Judge, but a little bit slower, you know? Like, it's, well, great.
For real, like, we've used it for, we had a GT a couple years ago where we used it. We had, like, a really, I forget what the question was. It was really complicated, though. We ended up asking in the Discord and, like, got a clarification pretty quickly, and, like, used it as a judge calling. It didn't really slow anything down. Like, it was, like, within 5 minutes, and we had an answer, so.
Yeah, it's not that bad at all. There's the nice thing about those Discords and things is that it is global. So, and like, this is a global game. There's a lot of people that play in Poland, in the UK, here in the United States. You know, we 3% of the Fifth Trooper listeners are from Germany. Hey, what's up, Guten Tag? We see you. You know, like, it's global. Italy, you know, it's everywhere. And so I just want to point out that, hey, like, you can always be part of these online communities, and that will help you find your local communities to play. And if there isn't a local community for you to join, you can play with the people in the online communities. Yes. There's an entire section on the Legion Discord to play on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, Tabletop Simulator is, like, also another huge resource, and it's really cool to... I played with people from, like, Poland and from France, and that's, like, not exactly driving distance for you. So you can play with some really different, you know, metas and different different styles of list, and just different people that you would never get to meet ever in person, unless you're, like, going to, like, a huge convention, like maybe Adepticon or something. But that's a great resource to find people to play, and even if you already have a local community, it's a great way to just kind of, like, hone your skills, try something new, see what other people across the pond are playing. I get, like, the tabletop side, we want to, you know, put our miniatures on the table, meet the people. Like, that's definitely, like, at the core of what this game is. But TTS is still, like, it's a good way to get the game in and get reps in. And if you're trying to learn, it's an excellent resource. I mean, you can, and it's a good way to, you can try armies out. Like, if you want to, you know, hey, maybe I don't want to spend $100, $200 right now. I want to see how Empire plays. All right, well, get on TTS and play some Empire. You know, you can you load all the minis in it. You don't have to worry about having to invest, you know, a chunk of change. And then to realize, like, oh, well, I hate this faction, and I don't want to do it anymore, so I got to go sell it now, you know? So it's a good way to give you a trial run, so to speak, of your army.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a very cheap way, because I don't know how much Tabletop Simulator is these days on Steam, but it's a couple dollars.
Yeah. It's like almost free. The Legion part is free. Like the extension
once you
is free.
Once you buy the game itself, all of the Legion mods and everything are free. You just have to know which ones to download and you know, get that set up. And that there's some guides on that. It's a little tricky. It's not super intuitive, but once you have that there and you find people to play with, you know, you can easily just jump into that and then be able to test things out for, as you know, for a couple bucks, right? Like for a couple dollars, you can have this software, be able to play this game, get reps in, and be able to test stuff out before dropping, you know, the 100 on the starters. Which, again, I don't think that there's anything that would replace being able to actually be in your local store and with local people and talking to that community and being face-to-face. Like, I think it's night and day difference of playing on tabletop simulator versus actually playing on an actual tabletop. Right. But I do think that there is value there, that it's like, hey, this is a thing. So new players, do look at that. Do pay attention that there are ways that you can, you know, you can maybe go to your local store and do like a demo day or something to be able to try some of this stuff out before dropping money on it. And, you know, speaking of dropping money on it, and we talked about it in our last podcast, and I'm sure if you're new, you have heard every single person and every single podcast whatever talking about it, but everyone's talked about the starters. They're excellent places to start. They did such a good job with them. It's amazing.
Funny how that works.
Truly excellent, of just like, hey, this is a great place to start. But what I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, and would like to, you know, just impart a little bit of knowledge there, is that all of these different factions play differently on the table.
For sure.
And no one really mentions that. And so just because you're eyeing the Republic and you're like, man, I can't wait to buy and paint and play the Republic, do a little bit of research, maybe watch a game or something, like play a demo. Understand that some of these do play differently than the others. You know, Republic does a lot of token sharing, and if you don't want to pay attention to all your tokens, right, if that's not your thing, like, and you don't want to do that, then that's not the set for you. And so then maybe you should be looking over at Empire.
Yeah, I mean, like, Empire is also like a great faction for cheaper red saves. It's like, I play clones a lot, actually, so I was playing Empire recently, and it was like kind of a breath of fresh air to not have to monitor all my tokens. It's like, oh, this guy has an aim token, he's just going to use it because nobody else can, and that's the thing to do right now. So it does make it a little bit easier. Clones can have a little bit more micro decisions in your game, so it can like slow it down a little bit, because you're trying to figure out, like, you know, do I need to bank this surge token, or do I need to just use it now? Just a little bit of micro decisions. It gets easier with time. I love my boys in blue, though, my clone troopers. But yeah, I mean, Empire, you can do a lot of, it's a lot of sheep red saves. You can put like tons of stormtroopers on the table. Scouts, you got Tempest Force is a real fun one that's iconic. Mm-hmm. That's what I was playing last week. So you do like the triple ATST thing with like the speed bikes and stuff. There's a lot of iconic stuff. You got a Blizzard Force for Hoth. So like pretty much all of the iconic big Empire moments are sort of in the game right now. You got Remnant, so even like Mandalorian, it's like all those like iconic Empire shots are really in the game, if that's what you're going for. And then from a competitive side, you can watch the Scoundrels. They'll inform you how to really run Empire very well. But a zoomed out version is like Vader and Dubak's really good. You got Snow Troopers with Flame Troopers, so it's just like there's a lot of cool tools there, especially with the new upgrades that just came out.
Yeah, and then like you've got Separatists, and the Separatist forces are, I think that one's more of just like, they don't have any suppression, they're all robots and things, and so it's a lot more streamlined in that way, of just like, you're not worrying about suppression tokens all the time, you're not worrying about having a medic or anything else, you're just repairing stuff because they're all robots, right? So that one's streamlined in like a different way, and maybe that's more of your gameplay style. Rebels are very squishy, but there are very numerous, like, that's their thing, is to be just like, have more units than your opponent and try to overwhelm them with your very weak very many people, and like that's rebel plays. And if you don't want to move that many tokens around, or not tokens, minis around, then that might not be the one for you, and maybe you should look at the others. But so do realize when you buy these starters that there are some play styles here that each faction has that will differ from the other ones. And so do a little bit of research. Don't just go that one and, you know, pay $100 because that might not be the $100 you want to spend.
Right.
I just want to preface that it is the right area to start with, but just understand of, like, it might affect how you're playing and interacting with the game, depending on what starter that you get. The other thing I wanted to dive into for our new players, after you've bought your starter while you're still at the store, don't leave quite yet. There's a couple more things that you need to buy.
Plastic glue.
Paint, yeah, dear God, buy the right glue.
Oh my gosh, plastic glue. Dude, I was assembling B1s. I just got my Clone Wars star set way back in, I guess, 2019. Put my little soft plastic clone troopers together, pushed them together like little Lego figures, was quite content. Then I go to pick the droid side up, and I grab my Gorilla Glue super glue that I can't find. But you're trying to put, like, little detailed plastic miniatures together with super glue is painful. It almost turned me away from the hobby altogether. I was like, dang, I'm not good enough to play this game. I can't put the guys together. But then plastic glue saved me.
Yeah.
And I'm still here.
Plastic glue is designed to do this. And that's going to be the stuff, you know, you don't want to use Mod Podge or Elmer's glue or, like, yeah.
Some of this stuff.
Exactly. good stuff.
Sometimes it's called plastic cement. It's different because it, like, fuses the plastic together versus just, like, sticking it together like glue. So super glue, miniature base.
It literally melts the plastic together.
Yeah.
So that's, you should definitely get yourself some plastic glue. You're going to need that. If you don't know, these boxes, all of your, or at least most of them, definitely all of the new stuff, they're all on sprues. They're all on little plastic, you know, sheets that you have to cut all of your things out of. There you go. Perfect.
That's
yeah. And so you don't have you have to cut them out. And so the next thing I would say to have is have a way of cutting them out. Exactly. Like, you can get these for pretty cheap. There's starter tool sets and things like that that you should look at. In fact, one of the starter painter sets that I was looking at that Warhammer has those cutters in them, which I was like, perfect. You know, you get a brush to start brushing, you get paints to paint with, and a little thing to be able to cut all the stuff out of. And then I think there's also like a little nail file like thing to help file down the edges after you've cut them out. And so it's like, hey, that's everything you need in a box for $40. But you do need to get that stuff, because if you don't have that extra stuff, congrats, you've bought a bunch of plastic and you're going to be staring at it until you go back to the store to go buy your paints.
You will be
buy
sad your brushes. With your bits of plastic.
Yeah. You know, these are all things that you're going to need, you know, especially the paints. Getting the right paints is a lifesaver. I have seen people paint their miniatures with, like, the paints that they use for you know, like, canvas and things like that. And it works. It just looks bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little starter set for $40 at your local game store will come with a brush or two, will come with a bunch of different colored paints. It comes with everything that you need. You know, all of this stuff is just stuff that would be highly recommended to buy with your thing. So that way you can paint your miniatures, because you're going to need to be able to differentiate one squad from a different squad. So that's going to be important. Like, that is an important thing for you to be able to do. And, you know, you're going to need the clippers to clip them out. You need the glues to glue them together. You know, what I've kind of guesstimated while looking at some of these prices online and things is that you're probably spending an extra $100 just on all of the extra stuff. Now, maybe you're a Warhammer player or whatever, and you've got all of this stuff already, so you don't have to worry about it. Congrats, good job. But if you're brand new to any of this, like I was, I never did a Wargaming before, and like I bought all of my miniatures, and I was like, oh my god, like I bought a bunch of miniatures, I'm so excited to play this, and I opened all of them up, and I was like, oh, I need to cut
Hello
these
there.
Out. I don't have anything to cut these out with. Oh, I don't have glue for this. I gotta buy the right glue. And right. Like, I luckily also ordered paints and brushes, so like I knew that part, but I didn't think about, you know, the other stuff. I didn't think about, okay, cool, once you've painted them, once you've assembled them, do you have to transport them to your game store to play? You have to somehow get them from point A to point B without them falling over. And the general consensus seems to be put magnets on the bottom, glue some magnets on the bottom.
Love little magnets.
But like, yeah, like, you know, exactly. You can do that. You can do that with some magnets. That's what I did. Was I bought a little like $6 cookie tray from Target and put all my guys with magnets on them. And there we go. Like I was able to then just have this little tray with all of my miniatures on it. It fit in the box that they came in. So it was a great way of just using what I had to get them from point A to point B without having to spend hundreds of dollars on all of this extra stuff. And I will say that's the other part of it, is just like, look up these things, because there may be cheap answers that exist already. Like, you don't need to buy a wet palette. You can make one at home for like $1, $2. Like, you literally can just take a piece of Tupperware and put some paper towels at the bottom and put a piece of parchment paper on top, and you have a wet palette. Congratulations, you're done. Like, that's it.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need. You don't need to buy like a $15-$20 actual one. Like, you can just make one at home for a couple dollars and do a DIY. You know, you can get some of these things. Now, some things, you know, like the glue, very specific. Please, dear God, get that and don't try.
Please do not make your own glue. You cannot do that yourself. Unless you can, maybe a specific 1% can. I mean,
not even just like making your own glue, as much as just people trying to use other glue types and things. Like,
do not Elmer's glue your minis together.
Like, I have super glue that I use for specific things, but I don't use them for a lot of my miniature setup. Like, I would say probably 90% of me building a miniature is with the Citadel plastic glue that they have, because that's just what my store had in stock, and so that's what I bought. But like,
really,
I'd say like 90% of it is that, and then like 10% is just like, oh, I have to add the you know, the
little
magnet at the bottom,
magnets,
super glue. Done. You know, like that's how I do that. So just trying to make sure that new players realize you can't just take the starter, go home, and be done.
Right.
You need to buy a couple extra things. It does cost you a little bit more money. There are ways of doing it that are cheaper. You know, maybe you're like, my store has a paint night. So if you don't have paints, if you don't have brushes, you can just go to my store on paint night and paint at the store. And use their paints and their brushes.
That's a big resource. Yeah, if you have a store that does that, that's like super handy.
Like, it's good. It's a good way of being able to do that stuff. Now, they don't have glues and they don't have clippers, so you know that's all on you. But the rest of it, like, it's like, yeah, that'll save you $40 if you want to go there every single night. You can also just, you know, spend the $40 and you can be able to paint at home while you're watching Star Wars movies, which is what I do to get into it.
Also, like, I know that like the painting side can be such a hurdle for the hobby in general to play the game. I know it was for me. I like can't draw stick figures well. I will say it's like a different skill set altogether than like painting and drawing. But like, even that, you can, there's tons of YouTube videos. Like, I am not talented when it comes to like painting, but like my stuff looks tabletop standard. It looks decent on the table enough that it's like there, you can tell what it is. People come by and like, oh, that's cool. So please don't be like turned off by the painting side. You can also, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as far as the painting thing goes, it's just like, if you're not a painter, it's okay. You only need three colors on it. I think like that's the tournament official. Like, you need to have three distinct colors on it. And if you just want to have the base all black, the legs all red, and the tops all blue or something like that, cool, you're done. Like, you don't need to get in the details. You don't get the face one color and then the hands a different color. Like, I do that because I have a lot of fun with it and I've been doing it for a while. But you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And people aren't going to judge you for not. Like, half the time, I'm playing with people who haven't even put a dot of paint on it at
all. Right, yeah. I would say that, like, 90% of people will be more happy that you showed up with gray plastic than not showing up at all. Like, you can do some various, like, I know for the longest time I had, like, just gray clones and I painted the rims around the bases so I could distinguish them. And, like, that was what I had for, like, the first few months. I didn't know how to paint. I'd, like, got the wrong paint. Learned from my mistakes. Don't get, like, junk paint and try to do these minis. It is worth spending just a little bit on some of the nicer miniature paints. They're, like, just meant to be thinned down better. And there's tons of hobby podcasts that can, like, show you what to get, what to use, what spray to use for primers, stuff like that.
Yeah, like, just off the top of my head, so people know what to look for, there's Army Painter, Vallejo, Citadel, I think those are like
game color.
Yeah, like there. So those are like, if you see those are paints that are specifically made for this stuff that people use. That's a thing to look for at your game store if you're trying to figure out like what paints should I put on my Legion, you know, figurines. Though any of those will work, you know, whichever one it calls to you the most. Like, I became an army painter person just because they had a sale when I bought their little starter set, and so that's just like how, that's just the paints that I've been in. But I know that they're not the best. Like, a lot of the people that do like all of the competitions and stuff, they're using like various shades of Citadel paints. Like, that's like very top end. But also, like, don't be scared about pricing on these, because I think all of, like, you can get a starter set with a bunch of brushes for $40, like I said. Like, that's not too bad. And then if you want like a specific color, you can mix it yourself, or you can buy that color for like $3 or $4, and you can get a little vial that has that color in it, and there you go, like, you got that specific thing. And so, like, it's fairly cheap to get the correct paints and be able to make sure that you're doing it correctly. It's not the cheapest, but it is a pretty cheap way to be able to do it, and then you can do it right, and you can have stuff that'll last you. Like, I still have my starter brush that I started with. Like, I've kept that thing still working pretty good. Yeah,
I do use kind of junk brushes myself, but getting a brush cleaner actually helps a lot too. I keep my like junky brushes from like actually losing their tips. Had a buddy show me that locally. But yeah, the painting side is like an entire, like, just whole genre in itself. But don't let it keep you from playing the game, please. Don't. I have, like, I know players, some of my beloved locals, that, like, didn't show out for years because they're like, oh, it's just assembled. And I'm like, bro, come out, please, play games. I'm like, it's fine. Like, we won't shun you for putting gray plastic on the table. Like, play games, roll dice. Like, as long as we can somewhat tell what you're fielding, like, we're, like, 90% of people are going to love it. If you're, like, at Adepticon, read the pack, figure out what your paint minimums and stuff are, you know. But, like, you know, if you're just trying to play the game, put pieces on the table.
Yeah, just put some pieces on the table. And, like, don't, if you've got enough pieces done to field your army, that's great.
Yeah.
Every single one of us has a pile of shame, as we call it, that's just like,
it's all right here.
A bunch of gray plastic figurines that are like disassembled, not painted, not primed, and like none of that stuff. Like, that's okay. As long as you got enough of the right people, right, you know, to field whatever your units are, whatever, as long as you've done enough of that you're like, yes, I need six of them, and I have six of them painted and assembled. Great, bring them. You know, oh, you just got six assembled. That's fine. As long as we can tell them apart from other gray ones, you're great. Right. We don't care.
Yeah, just don't do blank bases. That's like the only thing I think that feels lame. But put something on a base and bring it. That's that's really, honestly, I would say is like the minimum to like just play a game with somebody. You know, it's gonna be cool. They're still cool figures.
Yeah,
the painting will come. The painting is like a honed skill over time, and it gets better. My first clone troopers I painted are like hilarious compared to what I paint right now. It's pretty funny. But I'll spare the viewers that.
Going from my first figure that I ever painted to like the figures that I just finished painting, like, well, world's difference. Some of it is to deal with like the amount of different tools that I have, but like, it's a different thing. Like, when I first started, I would never think about trying to make my bases look like my characters are standing on marble floors.
Right. Yeah. Wait, you got a, like, marble basing scheme? That's kind of cool.
And yeah, because the last thing I painted was my sleeper cell, and I made them look like they're from they're at the Corman Massacre.
Oh, okay.
And that's so awesome. I wanted it to look like they were cool standing at the you know, the city center of Corman. Gotcha. And where, like, you know, like, that's a very nice, like, marble-ish kind of flooring that they're standing in, or granite of some sort, right? Like, it's stone. Yeah. And so, like, I have that, and then I, like, made sure that all of their coats kind of matched colors that were in the show, so that way it kind of matches a little bit. But, yeah, like, that was just, like, a thing of, I would have never thought to try to make things look like that, or to even make things look better than what I did at the time, because, like, I started with the Echo base set, so I had they're in snow, so I just painted all of the bases white, and it wasn't until later I went back and, like, I added snow in. Like, I actually bought some of the little, like, hobby snow stuff and figured out how to make a good mix of that and, like, put it onto the bases to make it look like someone's, like, walking through snow or something
That. Like, Hobby Lobby has a lot of stuff. Like, the model train stuff, that stuff really crosses over.
Yeah. And again, don't let any of this stop you. You don't need to be an artist to play the game. This is just something you do when you're not playing the game. It's just like, oh, I watched a tutorial that someone was like, here's how to do a marble, make it look like a marble floor. And I don't think I did it that well, but I did okay.
Yeah. You know? You'd be surprised how therapeutic it is and like how the skill develops and becomes such a fun side of the hobby altogether. I work in sales and it's like I literally have an auto dialer and I'm like talking to people and I'm like painting the entire time and it's very therapeutic. It like helps me like stay calm and like, oh, little happy trees, like as I'm like building customer concerns.
so all in all fairness, just understand, you know, you're probably going to be getting those starters and then you're probably going to need to get a couple other things, but don't freak out. You can definitely do it for $100 or less to make sure that you get all the extra stuff. Also, ask the store, ask your community. Oh, yeah. Once you have a community, because there might be people that are just like, yeah, I'm trying to switch from army painter to something else, and so they want to get rid of all of their old paints. Maybe they have paints that they don't use anymore and would rather give them to you than just tossing them down the drain kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or some old brushes that they're like, yeah, it's a bit messed up and it doesn't, you know, all the bristles are a little frayed, but like, hey, if that allows you to be able to paint your person, who cares if it's a little frayed and, you know, it's not exactly what you want? Like, it does the job it needs to do. And that's so right. Your communities and your local paint, game stores, very, very good.
All right.
Yeah. Step three. So step one, you found people. Step two, you got the stuff. Step three. Learn the game.
Does help.
Yeah.
Also very helpful.
Fun fact, before playing the game, you should learn the game.
You should look at the rules, like, briefly.
A little bit. like there's a dozen YouTube tutorials out there. You know, I definitely highly recommend looking up some of them, especially ones that have been made within the past calendar year. Very specific, because
you'd be very confused if you start looking at the older stuff.
Hey, for new players, just understand that last year, basically, this entire game changed all of its rules. Not all of it, but just pretend with me that that's a true thing real quick. And so don't look at a YouTube video that's 6 years old and try to figure out how to play this game, because some of those things are going to be right. You know, some of like the steps of like, yeah, you do this step and that step, like that'll probably be correct. But some of the rulings, that's not how that works anymore. Terrain has changed how that works. You know,
shooting
point
and stuff
costs
has changed.
Have changed.
sorts of stuff.
So much of stuff is different now. And that's okay. You know, this is we're here to help you cut through that confusion and give you the correct answer, which is, you know, look up stuff within the past year. That's going to be a good thing. Whatever is currently on the Asmodee Atomic Mass Games site, that is their current official rules. So you can just read that if you're good at reading.
Download the PDF.
Yeah, like I know somebody who just read the rule book and they knew the game better than I did coming into the game, and I was like, wow.
That's always such a joy when you're like teaching somebody to play and then all of a sudden they're answering your rules questions that are coming up. It's just like a proud dad moment.
He knew his stuff so well because he read the book before meeting with me, and I was like, well, you know more than
it's
me.
Like, you
right
are the
then.
Best player, the best demo player ever.
Yeah.
You know, the basics. Yeah, and, Legion is one of those games that's, like, I think, like, all good war games have this aspect that's, like, easy to learn, difficult to master. So, like, you can figure out the basics of Legion in, like, 10, 15 minutes. And then you're going to have plenty of time to, like, experiment, look into keywords, and delve into the more thicker sections of the rule book with all the rules text and stuff. But, like, you can be moving and shooting stuff in, like, 15 minutes, really, for a demo game. That's what makes it kind of nice. Like when I run demo days, you can sit people down and roll them through like super quick.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing that it's very, very easy to pick up. Like don't let, if when you open up that first pay, you know, that first rule book, and you look at the rule book and realize that it's like 60 some pages
back
it's 30 pages back to front, but like 60 some pages in total, yeah. I think, or something like that. And it's like, don't let that scare you. It's not that hard. Everything is in there, and like the last 5 or 6 pages or so, front and back, are all just glossary,
like
a terms.
Dictionary, like literally. Yeah. It's like, don't. Yeah, nobody. I mean, I guess some people have it memorized. I don't. you can always look that stuff up.
Yeah, like, I literally have a binder that I go to games with that have all of that, because there's always something that somebody's just going to be like, hey, how do we do X, Y, and Z? Like, how does this interact with that, right? And then I'm just like, what keyword do you have? And I will just open up the binder and go to that, just so that way we can have, like, the official thing. Right. Because, yeah, like, it's going to be a little... It's going to be, you know, it seems daunting, but it is easy to learn. And then once you have repetition in your mind and know what you're doing, then the only thing that you're using that stuff for is a reference piece of just, like, how do these weird edge cases... You know, how does impervious work? Oh my gosh.
I still don't know. Nobody knows.
Hey, I made an entire video about that. You'll see it at some point.
An hour-long cast on impervious and how it works.
I did like a 2-minute video just explaining that, because I had too many people ask me. They're just like, how does impervious work? And I'm just like, count the blanks, you're done. Yeah. That's it.
That's how many guys died.
That's how many... Yeah, you've done it. That's all there is to it.
You have a tablet, too. Like, that iPad on the music stand back there, you can just... keyword search. That makes it super easy. Like, a lot of people have tablets, phones, you can just carry the PDF, print it out, whatever is the easiest and coolest way for you to reference rules, you know.
Yeah,
it's very, very lower bar of entry there.
And people don't mind you checking rules. Yeah. If something seems weird, if that doesn't seem like the way that you know that works,
check it.
Ask
it's
the
fine.
Person that you're playing with, you know, just be like, can you explain that a little bit more? I thought it was like this. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me a bit more like this? You know, as I just pointed out, the new rule set hit like 15 months ago or something like that. So at this point, like, some people have a pretty good handle on it, but there's still, you know, that have only done a couple of games since that rule change. And so they'll be in that same slot that you are, learning the new rules with you. So.
Right.
Don't feel discouraged. Don't feel like you can't ask a question about it, by all means, because that's an opportunity for you to learn that better, for your opponent to learn it better. Like, there have been many times that I was like, I don't think that's how that works. And then me and my opponent realized that I was right, that it was, like, it did work differently. And that was a learning moment for my opponent. It was just, I was like, they were like, oh, well, if I know that this is how this works now, I'm not going to play that unit like this, or I'm not going to do this maneuver because I realize that that's a bad idea. And it's like, it would mess them up, you know, tactically. And it's like, yeah, I'm glad that you know that rather than learning that in a tournament.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It can ripple through your whole community, fixing like mechanics like that. I remember, like, from the olden days of when the game was started, like, our whole community was playing, like, suppression wrong. I forget, like, how we were doing it. But we didn't realize it till we, like, took a crew to Adepticon. And they were like, oh, that's not how that works. You know, so, like, asking the question and, like, making sure you get the rules right can really help, even if you think it's silly. I mean, it's always good to have that explained. And, like, I constantly have new players that I'm like, no, this is how it works. And then they'll come to me like, are you sure? And like, they'll point something to the rule book. I'm like, oh, I'm totally wrong. Like, thank you. Because now, like, it makes me better. Like, you know, like, clarifying rules and things, you're not saying like, hey, you're cheating. I know that's like what it feels like sometimes when you question something, but it's really not. We're all just kind of helping each other learn how to play this game better. That's all it really is. So never feel bad about that. It's you're doing a public service to your community by asking those questions.
Because some people will, like, look at something and they'll make a assumption out of it, or that's how they learned it, or that's how they've always played it. And then when they play against you, they realize that they've been playing it wrong with their friends their entire time or whatever, you know? Hey, fun fact, Pierce doesn't go through armor. That was something I had to tell some veteran players at my game store, because they were playing that Pierce went through armor, and I was like,
oh, it like doesn't... you just got the impact for free, or like,
yeah. And I was like, no, have to be able to get through armor first, then Pierce counts. Like,
right. Yeah, like little things like that, but it's easy for that to get, I can see how that would, at a first glance, get misinterpreted.
There's, you know, like, a lot of rules in the game that kind of stack on top of each other, and so it's very easy that you can see how things can get misinterpreted, or you think that that's how something works, and then it's not, and then you're just like, oh, That's not, I've always played it like that. And you're like, well, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, never just, hurts to check. You know, look at the, we're not saying that everybody out here is a dirty cheat and that you need to know the rules or everyone will cheat you in this game. That is not the case. It's just a thing of learn the best that you can of the rules before you show up, and you will learn the rest while playing against people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first game was against Mike, and he absolutely decimated me. I knew none of the rules correctly. Like, I tried nice. So hard to read through that rule book beforehand, and I did not get all the way through it. I got through, like, I'd say probably about 10 pages, and I was like, I got enough. And, like, he's like, why are you moving that? And I was like, isn't that this part of, like, and he's like, no, that's not how this works. And so he was like, this is, you do gonna this, learn and you the do that. Yeah. And so, like, you know, it was very nice to learn all of that. And then, like, the second time playing, I was at a tournament, and I told everybody at the tournament, I was like, I'm new. And they were like, cool. And so everyone just taught me how to play at the tournament.
Right, yeah. Especially, like, a local scene, like, that's totally fine. Don't be scared of, like, playing in events, playing in, like, any sort of, like, local tournament, something like that's totally cool. Like, once you figure the rules out and stuff, start plugging it in. Once you know how to build a list, start, like, getting some reps in, finding people to play with. You know, the tournament scene is not like, oh, we're gonna just beat you up and kick you out the front door because you didn't know how to do the thing right. No, it's like, it's a very supportive community. It's great. Yes. Please play the game.
I haven't seen this community be, like, bloodthirsty as much as other communities. Magic the Gathering, you know, like,
we love the
yeah, like, you know, if you play in like a new Magic event kind of thing, people want those packs. They will not tell you rules so they can make sure that they go 3-0 and get their packs or whatever. I have seen it happen where, like, if you're in a tournament and there's prizes on the line for this, no one really cares that much. It's like, yeah, I can get an extra whatever that's as a prize, and that might be fun, but, you know, most likely you're going to be hanging out not in the upper tier, and you're going to be hanging out with people that are playing the game and just having a good time, and that's a great place to learn. You know, these games take anywhere between, like, I'd say, if you're doing a recon game, probably an hour and a half to 3 hours on a normal game of... What's the actual name of non-recon games?
I guess standard.
Standard, yeah.
I guess standard, yeah. It's like Star Wars Legion, then recon is its like own separate set, so...
Yeah. So, like, you know, 3 hours to do, like, a standard game. And that's just one game that you do, like, pretty much one game a night or whatever with somebody, and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Tournaments, you're there the entire day, and so you just do 3-4 games or whatever. That's, like, the best kind of day to learn this game, you know, like, because when else do you have that opportunity to literally put 9 to 12 hours of... Now, you're tired at the end of that, let me tell you, but...
but it's so fun!
Yeah, it's fun, and it's a good way of being able to get a couple games in rather than just, like, the one you do every Thursday kind of thing. Also, while you're learning the game, understand that there are resources out there that will help you. Like I said, YouTube has a lot of stuff. One of the things that every single one of us uses in some capacity is a website called Tabletop Admiral. Highly recommend.
It's awesome.
This will, A, help you build your list, so that way you can actually figure out what a 600-point army for recon out of those starter boxes is going to look like for you. Because it's not just, hey, I have all of these units, and then you put them on the board. You're going to have different upgrades. And so those little upgrades are worth a couple points here and there, and that's going to get you to that 600 mark. So you should know what your upgrades are. And Tabletop Admiral will help you figure out it asks you right at the top, what faction are you? And then you just start plugging in your units, and it'll tell you what all the upgrades that you can have and all the point totals, the current point totals of all of that. So that way, you know, whenever they do points updates, like, that thing gets updated within, like, an hour. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like, it's so good. It's so good.
The Lord's work out here with that.
Yeah. I cannot stress enough how much that is the most useful tool, I think, in this game to be able to help you build your own armies and figure out what your armies do. The amount of times that I've, like, I make my little list and I have it on my phone, and then I go, okay, what's low profile do? There's like a little button on your thing that you can just hit low profile and it'll explain what low profile does that little blurb. So helpful.
You can print out your list too. You can print out all the pictures and everything. Like you can, if you want the print copy, print it out. Mm-hmm. It's there. But yeah, the keyword function is so helpful.
Yeah, the keyword function is super helpful. If you're doing print and play stuff, you can print all your stuff right there, have all of it out, and you don't have to have bought any of the cards or anything like that, right? Like, you have all of the stuff that's right there. And, you know, when your opponent goes, hey, what are you playing? Like, it's because you're supposed to be able to know, like, what your opponent is playing. You can just show them the entire list in Tabletop Admiral and, you know, be like, here it is.
You can search keywords too. Like, if for some reason you don't have one that's on a card, there's like it has a glossary of like every single keyword in the game, like objective related ones and stuff too. They're like all in there. You can search those. That's super fun. And the list building side is also like one of my favorite parts of the entire hobby altogether. I love like sitting in theory crafting and building lists and like, you know, if I like 5-10 minutes here, like, oh, okay, let's see what I can cram into 1,000 points here with these units. I want to build it around. I want to build my Vader list. Who can I take with me? It's a fun time.
Every single community that you will look at as you join into this hobby, there will be a section of people that are talking about lists.
Yeah.
Not even playing the lists, just literally theory crafting them of like, okay, I've got like 30 extra points. Do I somehow try to like go with this upgrade on my hero, or am I going to put this upgrade on my troop, my core units or whatever? Like,
just build a meme of a list too.
Yeah. Oops, you know, some people are building lists that are just like, all right, 6 characters, stick everything on them. Right. How good? Yeah. Like, that's a thing. That's a thing that people do. And so Tabletop Admiral, super useful for that. It'll be super useful for any new players to understand, like, hey, this is the stuff that's coming in your boxes. So when you buy those starter sets, you know how many points you're getting in that, what upgrades that you're going to want to put in to hit that recon 600 point area so you can play recon games with your local people. And if your local scene just isn't playing recon games for whatever reason and they're only playing standard games and you bought the starter set, okay, cool. Well, you still have that, then you know roughly after upgrades how many more points you need, and you can then look at all of the units you don't have and just be like, okay, well, if I got a Luke or if I got a Poggle or something, you know, like that's X amount of points and upgrades and that'll fill my slot. So again, huge resource. Look at this.
Mandatory, I would say. Especially if you're going to an event, you're going to like hand in the list. Usually they require you to have it.
Yes.
But like I have seen in my life once somebody like bring in a list pen and paper style, like actually adding up the points in the corner. And, you know, I tip my hat to anybody doing that.
Mad lad.
There's a better way. Yeah. There is a brighter way to do this. You can, like, use the list builder.
If you end up at a, for new players, if you end up at the end of round 5 and there is no clear winner, if you're tied at that point, you then have to go to points, which is basically how many points off on the other team have you killed and eliminated off of the board. And so then you have to literally sit there and just be like, okay, well, I took out 3 of their cores, and that's this much because they had this, you know, heavy with them and that upgrade. And so, again, this is another area where it's like Tabletop Admiral is super useful because you can just have that printed or just look at, you know, you can just hand it to your opponent and they can sit there and just be like, XXXXX, cool. Yeah. So you had 400 points left on the board and I had 300 points left on the board. So you win, you know, like. That's how that gets decided. But definitely, we are not sponsored. I just want to point that out there that we're not sponsored by Tabletop Admiral, but dear God, it is one of the greatest things. So I highly recommend it. Please, please use this. It was one of the biggest, it was one of the biggest hacks that I discovered from being a new player. And it definitely helped me learn the game because it helped me figure out what my list was and what my units were that I was playing and what all of their different things did. So again, it helps you learn the game. Once you've done step 3 there of learning the game, or at least learned a little bit enough that you can start playing, right? Then step 4 is to go play, right? Like you've found your opponents, you found your community, you've got your army, you've got an idea of what you're up to. At that point, it's to put everything from theory to practice. Go to your store, play a game, find a recon game, play a demo game. If you can't get out for whatever reason, you know, play on Tabletop Sim. There are people that play there. Like, there is ways to play this game, and it is highly recommended that you do that. That you, it's like, hey, that's why we're all here. Like, yeah.
Show up and play games.
Yeah, show up, play games. We all want to get games in. We love and dice. So cool, go do that. That's like the point. And then you, after you've done that, you know, you've done your recon game, or you've done your 1,000-point game, whatever, that, congrats. I'm so happy that you've played your first game. Welcome to Star Wars Legion. I hope you'd like to play a second game.
Tutorial completed. Achievement.
Yeah. and at that point, then you're going to go to step five, and I call step five the building phase. And the building phase refers to a lot of things. Maybe the building phase is building more minis, you know, to put into your armies. Maybe the building phase is building a different army list, you know, out of your starter than what you're currently using. Maybe you want to use some other stuff and kind of different, shake it up a little. That building could also just be that you want to build a better community to play in, because as much as it is fun to, you know, play against someone, you probably want to play against someone different next week. Otherwise, it's just the same thing over and over and over again, and anybody who has a sibling will tell you that is only fun to a certain extent, and then you need to find the next target, right? Next opponent.
My little brother only could lose the games of Legion so many times before he just lost its shimmer.
Yeah, and so that's where, you know, building your community comes in. And there's a lot of ways to do that, right? Like, you can join in the community and be playing and be, you know, just being part of it, you know, talking about new releases, you know, listening to the podcasts and talking about strategies and whatever. Like, that's where Notorious Scoundrel comes in. You know, you can start building your own repertoire and your own thought process of just like, okay, this is how I get better at this. This is how I do this a little bit better. You know, like, that's, they got the tips to build you to be a better player. But yeah, like, you know, there's so much here in this last little part of just like, you're just going to build up yourself and, you know, like I said, build the community up, you know, like, if you don't have a community, if you were just playing at your store by yourself, be the beacon.
Yeah. If you build it, they will come. Like, I've been very fortunate to, like, Rochester is an area that has like a very thriving game scene, and I stepped into a community that was like really functioning well. But like, when I was in Kentucky, there was a lot of places that, you know, you didn't have a lot of community, and so like, you can start groups just by, like, sometimes you have to be the guy that's just like, maybe there's only one person, and I know it's so much easier to play in your basement, play at your house. Just make a commitment to just play the game at the store. Like, the biggest way that we have, like, brought new players in is just, like, playing the game and letting people walk by. Millennium is awesome because there's, like, this... It's funny because, like, you have, like, the retail side, but there's, like, big windows around the play area. So, like, customers can walk by and, like, tap on the glass, so to speak, and, like, look at the games, or, like, come in. They can also go into the back of the play area and, like, look closer. But that's how you build new people or build new players and build community. You bring people in the game when they see it. They're like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And then they, next thing you know, they're showing out 2 weeks later, and they're like, that's another person to play. And so playing at your store is really sort of like the foundation of building the community. Cannot stress that enough. And mm-hmm. then if you can't, like we said in step one, you know, finding like the social media groups, sometimes you might have to create that. You might have to be the person that like creates the Discord, creates the social media. Talk with the store owners. I would say that there's like no store owner that is going to be upset that you're trying to create a group that is going to bring people into their store to play games and buy their stuff. They're probably the first resource to go to if you're just like strictly an island. You don't have anybody else to play with. They might play with you. Like, you know, like anything to help the store out, help the community out. I mean, all your good store owners and your friendly local game stores are going to be your best friend there, and they're going to have your back on that as well.
They might have like demo copies and you know, they might have some of this stuff like already sitting behind the counter ready to go. They just don't have anybody to teach or play it.
Right.
And
the new
so
league
you
kits.
Could be that person.
Yeah. The new like weekly play kits and the new league kits. Like, those are awesome. They have like little promo cards in them and stuff like little rewards you get for playing a game each week. You know, it's silly, but like it's cool stuff. It helps build community and it helps, you know, give people incentive to come play at the store. You win a little promo card for showing out. You put a little a league together and there's prizes at the end of it when all you're doing is just playing a game. You're just playing a game. You're doing what you would normally do each week, but you get a prize for it. So it's just like, it just brings more people out. So,
yeah. And I cannot stress how much just being out and playing this in public, in public, you know, like at your local game store, really is just so useful. The amount of people that have come up to me and asked me is just like, is this Star Wars?
Is that Star Wars?
Yeah. And they're all, they instantly are just like, oh my gosh, I love Star Wars. Like, what are you playing with? Like, what, tell me more about this.
Right. And all like of a sudden, cap on and
yeah, pitch. Like now we have somebody new, like the store that I play at has a lot of people that stop by, and I always am just like, yeah, like, this is Star Wars Legion, and if you have questions, let me know. And some people, like, you're just like, oh, I watched Clone Wars, I watched the trilogy, right. You know, I like this or whatever. And I'm just like, hey, that's so cool. Do you want to do this role for me? Like, and yeah, the second I hand them the dice, I can tell they're just like, oh, I get it. You know,
it's like the test drive in the car. Like, here's the keys. Take her around the block.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're hooked.
I've done that so many times. Like,
shoot this flamethrower for me? Here's 20 black dice for your flamethrower shot at this Ewok. You want to try that?
You want to see hooked. What it's like to just decimate somebody real quick? Just roll all these dice, and you know, there's a specific person at my local store that anytime that they are there, I specifically ask them to roll my dice for me because they are so good at it and they love like doing awkward. It so much. And so like they're there playing Magic or whatever with their family, and then when they're done playing Magic, they come over and they're just like, hey, can I roll your dice? And I'm like, yep. And I just hand this person the dice, and they love doing it so much. Yeah. And they constantly do so well. Like,
just spike.
I have on multiple occasions handing them my like white dice saves and getting all paint. And I'm just like,
nice.
All right, you're staying here for the next hour and a half. I need this luck.
It's like, also, are you free Saturday? I have a tournament to go to.
Do you mind just like stopping by this random place on Saturday? I need some help.
Yeah, you have like 9 hours free on a Saturday, but each chance I can just like borrow you to roll dice.
Yeah, it's like it truly does a lot, and I could even tell from my own community of just like me being there every single Thursday that it's like it's more people want to show up more often than as well, you know, there also is tournament kits and they're not tournament league kits as you said and things like that that are help incentivize people, but I think it's just like a good thing to be there. And then I think it's so heartwarming when it's like a Thursday I have to work and everyone's just like, what?
Right, yeah. Where's Owen? Like check on you.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I get like text messages. They're like, where are you at? And I was like, I'm in the office today. I'm sorry, guys. Well, like,
and that's like the subtext of the entire point of like doing these games. It's like, it's the relationships and friendships that you make with these things. I mean, like, I'm in a guy's wedding. We met playing Middle Earth strategy battle game in Star Wars Legion. Like, it's stuff like that that like really, when I got injured in this car accident, they like put a little GoFundMe together, and that was so sweet. Like all these people that I just throw cool math rocks with and play with toy Star Wars soldiers thought enough to, you know, do something like that. You know, that's really that's the good stuff, you know, when you're making friendships, you're making relationships, you know, and building community in that aspect as well is another just beautiful side of this game, you know?
Yeah, like, congrats when you sit down to play this game with anybody else. You know two things about them right off the bat. The first thing that you know is they like Star Wars.
Yeah.
So you have something in common.
Right.
The second thing you know is they like playing board games of some variety, at least. You know, they're playing this. Yeah. So they probably like playing other games, whether it's Dungeons & Dragons or Magic the Gathering or other board games or other tabletop war games or whatever. Like, they probably like something else as well that you also like. And now you have two things in common with this person, and then you can continue to hang out with them and do other things. Like, this is just a cool thing.
If you're
thing
not careful, you'll make some actual friends in the process. Imagine that. Like, oh no. What did I go and do?
I mean, it's a thing to be able to nerd out and enjoy your hobby and to make friends, and you know, that's what we're all here for, and that's what this is. And so yeah, like, those are your five steps. That's your guide as a new player, you know. So step one, find your community, find someone to play against. Step two, get the stuff. Step three is you want to then learn how to play the game. Step four, you want to play the game. And then step five, you know, is pretty much all of those steps again, right? It's the build phase of just you do more of the getting the stuff, or you do more of the finding new opponents, or you do more of the learning of the game, and you come back and you do it again, and then you just keep that going, because that's the hobby. Yeah. You know, that's everything there is there to do, and you know, we love doing it. And we hope that you buy these starter sets and love doing it as well, and join us in this fun adventure that we're all here to do and be a part of. So welcome to Star Wars Legion, and just know that we all do it for
the love of the game.